Ephesians 5. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. See, I'm not a fool. But as wise, saying, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, God's will redeems man from evil days. That's what I say. In simple terms. And it says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled, Lord Bragan will say, but being filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's such an instruction, like every other instruction in the scriptures. Moses will say, do not steal, do not kill. Paul also said, do not steal. Ephesians 4, in case he says, that's Old Testament. We can change figures. No, do not steal. It's God's will. Amen. It's God's instruction. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication, don't covet your neighbor's property, and so on and so forth. The same way you have those instructions, there's an instruction in God's word that says, be full of the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he makes a contrast that makes it interesting. He says, do not be drunk with wine. And oftentimes, when people read this, the focus goes to the wine. Exactly what the devil will have you do. So the focus goes to the wine. Oh, he's talking about, we can drink wine, but we must not be drunk. I've heard that before. Enough times. Amen. He says, don't be drunk with wine. He didn't say, don't drink wine. As long as you're not drunk. And then people use Paul's instruction to Timothy. Because Timothy was having acid reflux. Just kidding. He was having bowel issues. And so Paul says, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And so people go all about, they've forgotten the little, they've forgotten the stomach, they've forgotten the Timothy, but they take the wine. Amen. He says, take a little wine. What did you see there? No, he's talking about Timothy. Mm-mm. What did you see there? Wine. And you know, wine, that one that we take, I don't know about you, but that one I take is not wine. It's just grape juice. Amen. Real wine is alcoholic. Amen. Okay, you don't know that one before. That one in your freezer is juice. It's a mixed drink. Enjoy it. Amen. I don't have to say, go and look for wine. There's no instruction like that came from my mouth. Say that you must take wine today. Amen. I know some of you have been filled with wine. Where is the excess in times past? Amen. Bro Well has been drunk before. Bro Shola, bro EY. Bro Faith was still drunk on Sunday. Amen. Not with the Spirit. He was in my place. He was drunk with hatred for us now. But we thank God for victories. God, I'm still counting my blessings. Hallelujah. Let's leave that one. Bro Pam was there too. I could not sit down. I could not stand up. I was just walking about. Who sent me? These guys don't know me. But it's okay. Alright. So Paul is making a contrast. Of course, the issue, the focus was not on wine. The focus was on the natural. And so by mentioning the Spirit, he's telling you, don't be soaked in the natural. Rather than being all natural, why not be filled with the Spirit? So there's something as such as being full of the Spirit. There's something as such as being full of the Spirit. So the implication of the verse is don't be all natural. Be full of the Holy Ghost. It's important to state this to the believer. Because he's talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's not talking to new converts. He's talking to the church in Ephesus. Arguably one of the churches that did not give Paul any issues. In fact, when Jesus was going to write to the seven churches, the church in Ephesus got commendation. Your love from God has been ought from the beginning. Go back there. I see that you guys are tending towards some other things. Go back there. Unlike the church in Laodicea and you understand? They got very nice church. No issues. No, Galatia. Galatia was the one that they said, they're just in 17 and everybody went to line up for circumcision. That was not Ephesus. Ephesus was Paul's kind of church. Yet, there is a reminder to be full of the Spirit. Because if we're not careful, we'll get all soaked up in the natural. And know what I'm saying? This 2024. Because it's possible for the believer to be all natural. No sense of what God can do. No sense of the presence of God. It is possible. Of course, that comes with exposure. Are you with me tonight? What you see. Have you ever caught yourself in a corner in your head and then you know that I'm being too carnal right now? Any of you? Let me see. I have. And then you just tell yourself, how did that kind of thinking come to my head? Why did I think that was going to happen? You hear someone, you say, I don't know, my heart was just beating. I didn't even know what to do. Everything was just like the world was going to end. I was just confused. And why did you not just turn to God's Spirit? And gradually we can get to a stage where we are just all natural. Everything is here. There is nothing coming from God. And Paul gives a warning. An admonition, call it what you want, says be full of the Spirit. I perceive it's more important to us, this instruction, this day than it was to the church in Ephesus. What you see, what you hear. You know, go listen to it again. How to filter things out. Not everything is for you. There are things peculiarly planted in the media, and I said that last week, to take your attention off what God is doing. There's one that's trending right now. I'm a chosen, all of that. And I told you last week, I said, funny, whatever you want to call it, hilarious, oh beautiful, all of this, whatever you want to call it. But ensure you know that anything in the media, you need to ask yourself, what does God get from this? On whose side is this information? Because you can be caught in the web of being all natural, all logical, all senses, no God. It's not bad to have sense. It's not bad to be logical. You need to be logical at times. Amen. You need to be logical. There's this comedy I saw. You know, the guy, I don't know how many of you have seen it. It's an interview, a company interview. So, it's virtual. The guy was putting on blue. The interviewer was trying to talk. The guy said, can you see I'm on blue? Can you see I'm on blue? Because I saw your company color. And the man was trying to say, I surprised you, Abby. The man said, actually our color is red. He said, oh, that's another company. He said, that's, what's the meaning of this? No, have sense. It's not bad to have sense. You should have sense. But you cannot be all senses. Everything about you cannot just be physical, cannot just be logical, cannot just be, oh, whatever has boundary in the natural, then you cannot go beyond it. No, that's not you. A child of God, born of God, has heaven in his mind. That's the way we must live. Amen. You must watch your likes, watch your preferences. You know, those are things you must be ticking. Why do I actually like this now? You know, last 2 years, I started developing likes for real estate. A lot. Yeah, I don't know where it came from. I just started developing a very strong interest. I think everything started from interior, decoration and all of that, design. So I started for architecture, land. I don't know. I just love it. At a point, I have to come myself and say, calm. It's all nice and good. Where did it come from? Why do I like it? Amen. If I see that, even like saying that greed, the power, this is sponsored by greed. Or this is sponsored by lack of contentment. No, I think that's sponsored by the flesh. Proudly brought to you by Mr. Flesh. You filter that one out. Watch it. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine where is in excess. Be full of the Spirit. That is, don't be all natural. Don't let everything about you stop with the physical. Be full of the Spirit. Say, I'm full of the Spirit. Say, I'm full of the Spirit. Again, it's not a confession, it's what you intentionally do. It's what you look at yourself. You take an inward look daily. Say, am I full of the Spirit? Is this a Spirit-filled decision? Is this a Spirit-filled decision? So here's God at the teaching. A Spirit-filled life. Am I living a Spirit-filled life? There are some appetites that should not be for the believer. I mean, you should naturally just detest it. I remember growing up. Now, I'm not saying this should be for everyone. But I remember growing up. As a teenager. I had no interest in boyfriend-girlfriend things. Now, again, I'm saying people are different and all of that. But I had zero. I just felt, I'm not ready to get married. Why am I liking someone? Are there people I liked? Very well. Are there people that like me? Very well. Amen. I don't know whether they like me, sir. We never explored it. But what am I saying? I have no interest. When I see that the affection is getting so soon, I know how to take breaks a lot. If I take a break from you, you think that the world has come to an end. I know how to take breaks a lot. Whoop. Did I offend you? No. I remember there was a lady like that. Started sending people to me. You know, Shelley, it's not you. It is, you know that line? It's not your fault. This is not about you. It's not what you did. It's not you. It's me. You are too good for me. Yeah, have you heard that line before? The nice line. Works every time. It's not you. It's me. Hallelujah. I just had no interest. I just felt if you are born of God, your focus should be on something else. I just felt like that. Now, those are looking at your own life and say, how can you be 24 if you've had 5 boyfriends? When you're not in, you man in John 4. But they broke your heart. Then you went to Femi. Have you not heard of Femis? Amen. You look like a Femi. When I first saw you, I thought your name was Femi. Now, if you are Femi, calm down. Oh, leave Femi, but calm down. There's not Jew nor Greek, amen. We are all one in Christ. Confirm me, you went to Isaac. By my God, I never meant that. I didn't even remember. I think God just sang the God of Isaac and Jacob. From Isaac, you went to Orwell. That was not a mistake. From Orwell, you went to Delight. See, all of them broke your heart. At 24, what were you doing? You've never visited a secondary school to preach. You've not done anything. What exactly, what impact have you made for Christ at 24? At 30? You've done every other thing that the flesh can do. What have you done for God? Now, come back home. What I'm saying is, there are some appetites that should not be far from the believer. Like, it should not even be a temptation. You must be full of the Holy Ghost to that extent. It should not even be a temptation. You can't tempt me with gambling. No matter how broke. I don't know. By God's grace, I think that one is past now. By God's grace, to be broken or to go and be gambling. But what I'm saying is, no matter how needy, you can't tempt me. It's far from me. You can't tempt me with going to brothels. I mean, there are some things that should not be temptation. It should not even be a in your head. It's not. It doesn't even exist. How can that be what you are still fighting? You speak in tongues. To what effect? Christianity is not mouth. Amen. It's not ceremonial. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drinks. How has it affected your life? If you said you are full of the Holy Ghost like you claimed, we will see it. I told you, being full of the Holy Ghost is measured in the overflow. Something is not full till it pours out. Fullness is measured in overflow. It's not about what it can contain. It's about what it cannot contain any longer. So much that you are so full, it spills out. It spills out to your career. It spills out to your family. It spills out to your speech. It spills out to your dressing. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? How do I know you are full of the Holy Ghost? There's an overflow. You profess Jesus, but you act like the world. Like, there's nothing about you that someone can say, no, this one, how this pretty cocoa. I've told this story before. I was doing my house job in Lute. We were coming to the end of our batch, coming to the end of our house job. It's a 12-month, whatever, training. And so they had a party. They were organizing it. They were going to go to the beach. And I don't know whatever their plan was. They were going to stay overnight and all of that. Also, I was seeing people in clusters, different places. One saying, have you paid? I said, what are we paying for again? What are we paying for? All of you are just talking in parables. I don't mean about Ankelo Tufe. Sorry. That's an incantation. No, I edit a movie, oh. I was not trained. I was not a trained abalist. It just means, let it be clear to me. Amen. I say, that's what your baba says, you say, this service. He just said, let it be clear to me. So I was asking, let it be clear to me. Now, what's all this, whisper and everything? Even some, senior decisions were in for it too. They're going to go party and all of that. So one of them just said, there is no need to tell you. We decided not to tell you. There's no way you will have come. He said, to where? Is there a seminar? Who's giving speech? I thought it was actually an inaugural speech or something. And they're trying to donate for a professor or something. Said, no, that is a beach party. I just started walking away. You cannot even come to me and come. Which mouth you used to say? It's not today they know me now. The one that was free. What they call it? Year one student. Freshers party. That was free. The bus to the place is free. The food is free. I did not go. Amen. Not to tell you that I did not collect money from me. I did not go. I don't think I attended any party in that school. Including dinner night. There's nothing wrong with it. Departmental dinner night. There's nothing wrong with it. You were there. One night like that. Which one was, which one did you go to that I fought you? It was a traditional night. Okay. You remember I fought you that night? No, I will not speak the details. I fought her. No, there's nothing wrong with it. Amen. That was a normal tradition. I just, you don't shame me. I don't pray in that year. Is that what I told you? That time, can't you go and pray for your disciples? Oh, who need for crying out loud? I just feel, if you're going to stay awake, God should hear your voice. Sometimes I stay awake, just walk. But I cannot just stay awake in vain. There's no way God will not hear my voice staying awake. There's no way. Be a Christian. Be full of the Spirit of God. Let everything about you not be logical, physical. Let it spill out. We say fullness is in the overflow. What I say? Why are you acting like the world? You can't be full of the Spirit and act like the world at the same time. You see all those small things that we don't take as pastor and just dinner. I'm not against any dinner night. You have industry night, all of that. I'm not against it. I'm sorry. Don't answer. Our pastor said we should not be going for any dinner night. Abba. Personally, I host night parties too. Amen. How many of you have been to my night party before? Let me see. You didn't see a party? Yeah. Anyone? Let me see. I host every, don't mention exclusive. If you get invited, you get invited. If you don't get invited, don't say pastor hates you. There's a way to enter if you want to enter. Hallelujah. Once a year, we dance, we play game. We don't dance actually. We dance. We just play game and talk. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong in party, birthday party. But if you start noticing, it's like I have a very strong affection, an affinity for parties and events. It's time to step back and ask myself, why do I like this so much? Do I like this as much as I love outreaches? Amen. Do I watch movies as much as I love to disciple people? Series 1, Season 1. Season 1, Episode 1, Episode 2, Episode 3, Episode 24, Episode 29. Season 2, Episode 1, Episode 2, Episode 3, Episode 4, Episode 52. Season 3, and you started it. Then they will ask you on Sunday, where is your study group? Your study. No faith. Those questions are hard though. The questions are hard. But to watch film. It's easy for me. It's easy for me. It's with ease. God's will is easy for me. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't let your life all be surrounded by the natural. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't allow little, small. We had the teaching last retreat. Little foxes. Go and listen to it. Oh my God. Beware of little foxes. Little foxes. We spoke about David, right? David and the little giant. Remember the, not Goliath. Goliath has died. But the one that would have almost killed David was not even a giant. It was a little giant. The Bible called it a little giant. Don't listen to that teaching. Little foxes that destroy. Don't allow them. Don't allow them. Instead of being drunk with wine, instead of being immersed in the natural, everything, movie, lost, you have seen so much, you have heard so much, you have read so much that as you are praying, you just have feeling that is God even hearing? Yeah, I actually can just also better. If I just also better, actually, all these things will be sorted. I actually need God for all these things. People do these things without God. For every time I say, people can get You get caviar. You get something that they always put for inside bracket. And I tell you, oh, people have gotten wealthy without God. Fine. But you must not be wealthy without God. Amen. Are you seeing the caveat now? You can, are there people who have made money, who are successful in their natural careers without God? Yes. But that must not be you. It gets to the point. Start saying, okay, actually if I put proposals together and I just, and I also bet I'm more just grind here and there, and I can start this business now. I actually have an idea of how it's going to run. If I do this one to an extent, then I will just bring in a partner. And then it works first time. Do it second time, it works. Before you know it, you start having a feeling of, is God necessary? Health-wise, you're not feeling too well. There's this clinical. No, I'm not a medical person. So, he said, there's this drug, clinical glycine. You take it. This one, clinical cloquine. You take it. This one, clinical. And it's all working. Before you know it, say, that my drug. That my drug I used to take. Oh. Then, something, what have you even prayed? This incessant angina. Chest pain. This recurrent chest pain that's always there. Have you prayed about it? There's something I used to use. There's nothing wrong with medication. What is getting wrong is your heart. You have put God on the sideline, and that ought not to be. So don't put God on the sideline. You know, no matter how skillful a football player is, he can't help you from the bench. You've got to put him on the pitch. Don't put God on the bench. Don't make him a substitute. Hallelujah. Don't rob yourself of experiences in the divine. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, that's where we are. So it says, and be not drunk, verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk in the natural. Don't be drunk in the natural. Like I said, sometimes your appeal is all logical, all sensible. It's just for me to buy this drug and use it. It appears intellectual. Till faith is sidelined. I remember some years ago I had to cry a lot because there's one of us that we grew up together. I don't know if I've shared this story before. We grew up serving God together. We're still serving God. I'm still serving God with others. And I just heard the story. So one day I just asked one of us, where is it, bro? So. He said, he left so church. He has moved to so place. He's a guru now in so thing. I said, what about, you know what I'm asking? What's he doing now? Because that time, he used to be, and there was a silence on the phone. I said, well, talk now, where? Is he a missionary there? Well, he laughed. He said, nah. Actually, right now, he doesn't even believe in Jesus. Then he sends me some of his Facebook. Just send me a link. This is someone we serve God together. He's writing now that there is nothing like Jesus. Jesus is the fabrication of a Jewish mind. Now what we have in Africa is Oduduwa. In Oduduwa name, I pray. Something like that. What we have is Oduduwa. And you know that I can give you African gods. That as they are following their own, we'll follow our own. Now, if you are serving Jesus in slavery mentality, where did you learn all of this? I mean, this was someone we had numerous psalms together. We went for village outreaches together. He healed the sick. I was there. I saw a lame man walking. I was there. How does a man go from healing the lame, strengthening feeble legs in the name of Jesus, to saying that there is no Jesus? Not being full of the Spirit. Can we speak in tongues about this? It can happen to anybody. Amen.
So you do well to always call yourself to order. We are in a world where everything is changing. We have artificial intelligence, we have robotics, we have things coming in, machines and all of that. They had to put a pause on AI recently, at last year. Elon Musk and all of them, Elon Church, everybody, call themselves together and say, we are not going to progress with this particular one. It was that terrible. Because they were already using for nuclear weapon. So the other said, no, that's a no-go area. There was a report in America where they programmed the one robot and all that. The robots were communicating with each other. I don't know how many of you had that report. And the robots were communicating with each other in a language that they did not program both of them in somehow. And they had to quickly destroy it. You know, we are in that kind of world now. We are in a world where you can enter your apartment and say, Alexa, turn on the light. And the lights will come on. I know in your house. No, sorry. Say, eh? There's not even Nepal light. There's not even light. With Alexa. You know? You have everything. You have washing machine to wash clothes. You have dishwasher to wash dishes. You have everything. And if you're not careful, it brings a reliance on the natural. And before you know it, a man's faith is waning, but your faith will not wane. Amen. Your faith will not wane. Amen. Your love for Jesus will continue to burn. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We have to call ourselves to order. Let's remind ourselves, I'm born again. You know what? God's Spirit indwells me. Just remind yourself, no, God's Spirit indwells me. How about that? I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost. No, just a reminder. Temple of the Holy Ghost. God is my Father. I have a heavenly consciousness. I'm not all natural. Amen. So concerning every part of your life, how do I know I am full of the Holy Ghost? It's what? Huh? Pause out. It overflows. It must now overflow to my career, my finances, my health. My health. I've told you before. Concerning your health, you must learn to trust God. Health is a combination of three things. Faith, that's what sustains health. Faith, food, and common sense. What gives good health? Faith, food, and common sense. Common sense means, if everywhere is cold, I wear a thicker jacket. Right? Common sense means, if I feel, I'm getting cold too much, I don't take cold water, right? Is that not common sense? Huh? Because some people know they will see they have cold water. So I don't think I know that to serve me what I want. I'm the head of this house. Bele. Elon Musk. Common sense. We have a teaching on that. Preserving your body for God's use. Funny teaching, but I listen to it. Common sense means you are going to exercise. Amen. I try my possible best to be on the treadmill almost every day. Hallelujah. I try my best. Today now, I know drum. Hallelujah. If you don't have treadmill, walk on the spot, jog. You say, that's because you don't have treadmill. Else I'll be doing it every time. It's a lie. Take a walk. Brisk walking. Common sense. Also, food, eat. How can you not have eaten for 2 days? The only thing you have taken is ice cream. That's it, you first fell sick. Who else you fall sick? Me? Eat amala. Find a way to eat. Amen. Let Jesus be glorified in your life. Don't be eating rice every time. Sometimes cook beans. Eh? Take vegetables. Take fruits. Food. Then, you know, sometimes we can be so very natural that that's all about the health. Food and common sense. Food and common sense. And we forget that God heals. He said, Psalm said, you sent your word and it heals them of every disease. God heals. He is the healer. We have a teaching like that, right? Jesus the healer. We have a teaching for almost everything now. Healer. And I told you, I said, when I was younger, what brought that? When I was younger, when I wanted to play football, there's somebody called Bola. If you're a guy, you know what I'm talking about. You call him Bola or striker. I would have said like Alan, but he's a useless person. Yeah. Take whatever you want to take for it. Very useless idiot. Whatever. I don't care if he listens to JC Media. You should stop listening. You can listen to someone else. All right. You know, you say like Bola that can score. That last scored against us. No, actually. But that was not the issue. It was something else. I'm fuming. I'm seething. All right. Where was that before Alan the devil stepped in? Yeah, so when you pick them on the street football, say, ah, I want that guy, he's a baller, he's a striker. Because they've scored so much, they'll say, ah, I want that guy, is a baller. He plays ball. That's why they call Jesus the healer. He healed so much that was the nickname. The healer. Everywhere he went, Jesus said, Nazareth, have mercy on me. I know you can do this one. So how can you not believe in God's healing power? How can you resort to just common sense, medications and food? No! God's power can supply vitality and energy to your body. And I receive it. I receive it. I don't fall ill in the name of Jesus. And when I am ill, I'll be healed. In the name of Jesus. God's power is effecting in my body. Healings and cures. In the name of Jesus. Healing. Cure. Healing. Cure. In the name of Jesus. I've got supernatural energy. Making things right. In the name of Jesus. Every part of my body is responsive to God's power. My cells are responsive. My tissues are responsive. Every organ is responding. In the name of Jesus. My systems don't fail. That's how to overflow. That's how to be full of God's Spirit in your health. So I just don't depend on whether I'm eating good food. No. It overflows. There is no way I'm just sidelining God in that part. My family, it overflows. Your finances, you must get to the point where you just trust God for it. Oh, I know you have a consistent source of income. I know you have the whatever. I don't know if there's anybody in Nigeria that's enough source of income. Even Dangote is he's saying that the oil. I didn't know that the oil field now is a cartel. Why? What made you reach that place? It's sugar you are selling. You sell from cement. You send some people away. This is not, I'm not political. Arrange it politically now. Some people are no longer existing. We're not talking about those ones, but, you know, then from there you went to salt, sugar, your flour. How did you, all those things now we accept. They are inside, sack. You want to sell petrol too. Now you are complaining. That's why that songwriter, he's not a psalmist. He said, don't go test to find money. He's not a psalmist too. Amen. He's so, you know, God, Holy Ghost, he said, don't go test to find money. Money comes to me. Don't go test to find money. No, it's not a psalm. Amen. He's still looking for money. And that's the richest man in Africa. It just shows you that no matter what you have, you always want more. As economics will say, human wants are what? Insatiable. That's the only one you remember. One of our teluba. you can't satisfy human wants. You always want more things. There was a point in my life where I told myself, if I can just have a PS2, if I can just have a PS2, I swear I don't need any other thing again. PS2. If you dash me now, dash someone else. Amen. Alright, so it must overflow to every part of your career. Don't learn the bad habit of sidelining God in these places. The danger of sidelining God in these places is that you now sideline Him in your ministry. The moment you start sidelining God in your natural affairs, it looks like, oh, because it's just natural, it's not my ministry, it's not my preaching, it's not church, it has nothing to do with my faith. It's just work now. I make work, I make sure church. I don't put God in church. I don't put God in work. I don't put work in... Calm down. Calm down, smartest man. About Einstein. Calm down. The moment you start sidelining God in the basic things, health, finance, family, not too long. For example, if it's a pastor, you start sidelining God in your church. You are not even a pastor, a discipler. You start thinking discipleship is all about, maybe it's for me to bring people to church. No, that's not it. It's for you to make impact in lives by the Spirit of God. If you like, have 500 people attend service every Sunday or midweek service. If they are not genuinely committed to the gospel of Christ and to the kingdom of heaven on earth, you've not done anything. You have not done anything. You are just a people gatherer. Ministry is not about attendance. It's about impact. Amen. It's not about, how many would you have in our service? We'll not take a picture. Oh, see the multitude. Multitude that after the service, they were all asking for ice cream. Multitude that cannot, the picture you took, who are you trying to impress in the media? Who exactly? The real person that should be impressed is not impressed. Your Lord and Savior. But you put it on Facebook and you think, oh, that's beautiful. I don't want that one. I don't want it. A disciple that, if he does not have money, cannot take walks to church. Cannot, he said, when I don't have money, He said, but it's just 100 naira. I don't have money for the transport. He has not done anything. So what does the person do? Because he's now used to, he's now used to just sidelining God in most things. Suddenly, disciple, you know what I would do? Every month, I'll just send you 20,000 naira. That's your transport fare to and fro church. Is that okay? Then I'll give you 5K for your inconveniences. Then I would say, disciple, you know, I'll say, disciple, that's why you know that you have not done anything. Disciple, I am become a law. And I'm letting you know, efficiency, pastor, they always quote them. What have you done? Now, you're already sidelining God in what God ought to have supreme control over. Why? Because you're already used to sidelining him in a lot of things. You now start using money, music. I remember Yonggi Cho. I don't know if it was Yonggi Cho, but the story. I think it was Yonggi Cho. So they invited him to a church, in Europe. And so the pastor took him around, said, this is our auditorium. I think it was a 50,000 seater or 30,000 seater. This is our auditorium, very big. So we have this is the stage, and behind the stage, we have a pool we use for baptism. Very big pool, Olympic size, we use for baptism. And this is the youth church. The auditorium was the architecture was done by Alessandro Lehangrimion. The man is the same man who was involved in the Kinikon, and this is our children's auditorium. When they were done, Yonggi Cho said, show me what the Holy Ghost is doing. So you'll show me everything that you have done. What is the Holy Ghost doing? Amen. You know, sometimes we just sideline God in the thing. We just think it's about the architecture, the music, and everything, the vibes. The vibes. May you not have vibes without the Spirit of God. Vibes that the devil, you and devil are vibing to in resonance. I'm full of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5. That's where we are. Verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine. Where is in excess? But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Where we said fullness is measured in overflow. It's something every other person will see. It's something every other person will see. In Acts 2, we saw the example with the early church. Acts chapter 2. Learn something? Oh Lord, tonight we ask for fresh baptism, fresh immersion in your Spirit, till we are full to the brim, till we overflow, Lord. We ask for fresh inspiration of your Spirit, by your Spirit, Lord, to be immersed in what is greater than us. Acts 2. When the Pentecost fully come, don't forget in Acts 1, Jesus taught them for 40 days, concerning things of the kingdom. He had to teach them. Then Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There's a reason why I mentioned the one accord, because disunity tampers with the move of the Holy Ghost. Disunity can make the move of the Spirit wane among us. And they had that disunity. The earlier church had it, at the point, the mother of James and John came and said, put one of my sons on your right, put the other one on your left. Peter was just laughing and said, Minko, where should I be? On him, on his head. Jesus said, can this one drink of the cup that I will drink of? They said, which cup? There's no cup I have not even drank out of before. Where did you get from, ShopRite or Walmart? Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. So the other disciples were already seeing it. Okay. Okay, two of you now, we don't have mother that can come and beg. There was a lot of disunity. Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Jesus said, I love you more than all of this. Why? Why do you have to use the comparison? I love you more than all of these ones. They said, oh, you love me more than all of this? Then feed my flock. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of disunity. And Jesus taught them concerning the kingdom of God that it's not about the kingdom of man. It's not where you reign supreme. It's where he reigns supreme. And then by the day of them Pentecost, they were with one accord. They were all with one accord, gathered in one place. And it's easy to go on accord. You know, 500 people started praying. By the day of Pentecost, they were 120. Selah. Amen? Jesus told 500 people, wait for me. Till you be endued with power from on high. By the time they recorded the number of people that were waiting, 120, you don't fall by the wayside. Yeah. All right. The whole we want to call it one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Don't forget, it's not as sudden as it appears. They had been praying for 10 days. There came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as like as of fire. And it sat upon each one of them. Can we read verse 4 together, everybody? And they were all filled, I know, I said everybody wants to go. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. Look at that. They began to speak. So, it means when I'm full of the Holy Ghost, it's not passive. There's an action to it. Being full of the Holy Ghost is not passive. It's not inside. No, there is something that will be seen. There is something that will be heard. Cloven tongues as of fire, seen. Sound from heaven, heard. So, if I'm full of the Holy Ghost, there will be sight and sound. There will be sight and sound of the supernatural. That is when you can say, oh, I am full of the Holy Ghost. So, how do I know I am full of the Holy Ghost? I look at what I'm saying. How often do you actually speak by the inspiration of God? Watch it. How often do you speak by the inspiration of God? So you look at your speech, it overflows to your speech, it overflows to your thinking. The lordship of Jesus on surrendered people will be seen in what they say. I'll say it again. The lordship of Jesus on surrendered people will be seen in what they say. It will be seen in how they act, how they treat others, how they think. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 12, he says, the life of a man is not in the abundance of the things he possesses. We're in a world where everybody is trying to amass wealth. Everybody just trying to, you know, I'm going to get a car. And when I get a car, I'll get an apartment. Oh, no, I don't want an apartment. I want a condo. But I don't want a condo. I want a semi-detached. I don't want a semi-detached. I want a fully detached. I don't want a fully detached. I want a mansionette. I don't want a mansionette. I want a mansion. I don't want a mansion. I want a group of mansion. you know, this is what my mates are doing. We are all trying to amass something. But you know what God is saying? The life of a man is not in what he has. That's amazing. I have something to teach on that. But not this year. Amen. Oh my God. I gave an hint when I was talking about the gospel according to Jesus. Remember that teaching? 2019? 2020? I can't believe you, Mbume. But 19. Okay, I believe you now. I believe in you. I just don't believe what you said that one. Love of man is not in abundance of things he possesses. Being full of the Holy Ghost pours out. You are not like the world. You don't think like it. You don't act like it. You don't talk like it. Everybody, a particular church builds auditorium. The people are commenting. Is this what we need in Nigeria? Yeah, we are meant to be building factories. You didn't stop yourself or your father. Who stopped you? Your father and your mother from building factories? Nobody. But you, because you have data, 2 gig that you did yesterday, that remains 200 MB. Is that type? What we need is companies and factories for employment. Your own head did not carry to build factory. It's the church that must build that one. I see Christians to like. Something is getting to your head. I love the way Bishop Oyedepo said it. He said, I'm going to build, I think it's an 80,000 capacity or 100. So I'm going to build it and we are going to launch it by November 25. He mentioned the time, by 11 a.m. next year. If you want to build company and factory, start building it now. Not that when I start launching the auditorium, he will say, is that telling me that what we need is factory? If you know that what we need is factory, tomorrow is Monday. I love Bishop a lot. If you know that what we need is a factory and company, tomorrow is Monday, a good day to start. He has given you a year and 6 months notice. And you see some Christian say, it's true. I don't give anybody shishi. I don't give any pastor anything. If you like it, shame on you. If you are here, waka. Shame on you. Does the Spirit of God inspire that in you? You should be, you think I did waka by mistake? No. Inspired by God's Spirit. Overflow. Thank you. No, you should read yourself, hear what you're saying again, and think if it makes sense. I just told you before, someone put online that he got his pastor a house, and I think a car and everything, and someone was asking, what has the pastor done? All these man worshippers. Then the wife now commented, the wife of the man that did it for the pastor, that when the husband was in debt, and the company was about to close down, and they were about to buy everything from him, and they were about to say, that the pastor was the one that gave them loan. Of course, if the pastor put that one online, no, so many sacrifices. I love what the pastor said. He said, so many people have their pastor on their gratitude list. That is, people that they are grateful for. They have their pastor. Said, but does your pastor have you on his gratitude list? What a question. So many people, they thank God. I thank God for pastor. These teachings, this prayer. But does your pastor have you on his gratitude list? Does he thank God because you are here? That's not where we're going to. What I'm saying is that the devil subtly attacks. And every time you see something in the media, look at it. Say, on whose side is this information on? Always ask yourself. Someone comes and say, I'm a Chelsea. And they are laughing at people's testimonies. They are even framing the one that the person said he saw in a dream. They framed it as though the person was saying that he actually collected gun and all of that. And it was saying in a dream. And they caught the part of where the woman was saying, I had a dream. He just said, I saw people and I collected gun. They caught the part. That's what the devil wants to do exactly. And you as a Christian, you are laughing at the miraculous. And I asked you a question. I said, if you were there when the sea parted and Moses told you that I stretched forth my hand to the sea and the sea gave way and became a dry land, would you have believed? Would you have believed if Peter stood before you and said, we fed 5,000 people? I can't count their wives and their children. But I know we had 12 baskets left. And we started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Even if you are separating the fish by cell. Would you have believed? And so I went to a wedding last week. The wine finished. And they started serving water. And it tasted like wine. See, I was looking at it like it's water. But when I taste it, when I drink it, it's the best wine I've ever taken. You say, maybe you were drunk that time. Well, it's true. I believe in the word of God. And I believe in the weird stuff. I believe and I receive miracles. 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 I walk in it. It must flow. Amen. How do I know I am full of the Holy Ghost? There's an overflow to it. It overflows to your family. It overflows to the way you talk to your husband. To the way you talk to your wife. The way you treat your children. There's an overflow of what God alone can do, of the supply of the Spirit. There's an overflow to it. It gets to every corner of your being. The way you treat people, the way you are kind, the way you talk. You can't even control it. Sometimes you want to be stringent. I mean, no, the Spirit of God is working in you and it's pouring out. You must get to that place. Oh, I'm full of the good Spirit. I'm full of the Spirit. So, Ephesians 5. I'll close on this. Pray for me. So in Acts, we said they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we saw the evidence in that they spoke with tongues. But Paul gave us an hint here. And I want us to take the hint. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Can we verse 19 and 20 together? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, how do I know you are full of the Spirit? He says, I will hear you sing songs
by the Spirit. And one thing, I will also see that you are giving thanks. Thanksgiving is a proof that we are flawless. We are considering that on Sundays, right? What's the title of the teaching? Do the maths, right? Do the maths. Do the maths. Count it all joy. We are counting it. We are doing mathematics. It's a product. It's a show of a spirit-filled life. It's a show of a spirit-filled life. When you give thanks. It's a show of a spirit-filled life. When you make melodies in your heart. I love it, Pastor Chris. Sometimes you just go, You don't call yourself doing that before? No. It's not because you got a lot. Watch it. If it's a lot that is making you, you know, sometimes you, someone gives you a good news or a promise. I'm going to get you iPhone 19. Whatever is right now. I don't even know the latest one, actually. But it's fine. At least 15 or 17 or 16. Between that. Or 16 and a half. Something shall rain in. You know, and then someone promises, you're in the bedroom. That's different. I'm talking about spontaneous. You just go, I praise you, I worship you, for you've redeemed me from the accuser. You are my Lord, I give you my all. I'm just saying that one now. You must be able to have songs uncomposed, birthed by the Spirit of God. You must have it daily. Psalms are not meant for services. You see, the overflowing of the Spirit of God in our lives are not one-time experiences. They must be ongoing. The moment it stops, you are no longer full. If you say fullness is measured in what? It means that it must never stop, right? Eh? The oil must never stop. It means the inspiration you get, the supply of the Spirit must never cease. That's how you overflow. And again, you are not full till it overflows. How do you know the cup is full? When it overflows. Even when it's getting the brim, and the brim, and the brim. It's still not full. I only know it's full when it cannot contain it any longer. Paul says, be full of the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit. How do you know a man is full? He can't contain it. You see sudden bursts of joy. Sudden bursts of, he just goes, wow! And he goes, yes! He said, what's happening? Nothing really. Nothing really, I'm just... And he goes, thank you, Jesus. From randomly. Randomly, you know, just, thank you, Jesus. And he's just talking. And he's saying, you know, that yesterday I was just feeling so, there's this part of my back and all of that. Thank you, Jesus. And you wonder, how did thank you, Jesus, enter the back conversation? He's full. Sometimes it's not what the person is doing intentionally, but it's something that the Spirit of God in the life of a man does through him. When you are full, you are full. If you are not full, you're not full. So be full of the Spirit. It overflows. You hear the thanksgiving. He said, giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to the Father for all things. You see someone who is going through a lot and coming from a lot. And he goes, thank you, Jesus. I was talking to a friend and he was talking to me about a family member who was sick. And all of that. In that conversation, he was saying, so I stayed in the hospital. I had to wait for the person. I had to wait there overnight. Then I went to work from there and I came back again and all that. More thank you, Jesus. So I just caught that. I said, thank you. Just thank God. Thank God. Even though she's still experiencing some of those things, but she's getting better now. I really just give thanks to God. He said giving thanks to God almost 8 times in 5 minutes. And when it was on, I said, you know, that's the emblem. That's one of the ensign of a spirit-filled life. He said, what are you saying? I said, I counted how many times you said, I'm grateful to God. You did 8 times. And you were not talking about achievements. You were talking about fire. Things that were inconvenient. And you gave thanks to God 8 times in 5 minutes. I said, I absolutely adore that. I told you, in Jesus' most difficult moment, that night, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, he broke the bread and he gave thanks.
Bible says, in the night where he was with, I give you what I've received. 1 Corinthians 11. Say, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the night where he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and he gave thanks. In his most difficult moment. In the midst of lack. In John 6. Where Jesus had 5,000 men sit before him. No food. He himself didn't have anything. He said, who has food? Then there's a little lad here that has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But it cannot be anything. Jesus said, it can be something. Bring it. And he gave thanks. In the midst of lack. What seems to be lack became plenty. That's a spirit-filled life. It overflows. Sometimes it's not enough. You just thank you, Lord, for this bread. Thank you, Lord, for salary. You know, and someone who is even earning times 10 of what you're earning is complaining and grumbling and all that. And you're there. Thank you, Jesus. There's something to be gotten, to be spent, to be given, to be used for family, and the needy. There's just something. There's something there. Thank you, Lord, for this one. You know why you trust him for what's next? A spirit-filled life is always connected to its source. There's no detachment. And so, there's always thanksgiving. There's always something, melody. It's a singing to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26, turn there as we close. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm. Say, I have a psalm. I love that one. Let's stop there. Every one of you has a psalm. I love that one. Everyone has a psalm. It means I'll be telling a lie if I say I don't. That's what Paul is saying. He said, as you are gathered like this, everyone has a psalm. What is a psalm? A psalm is a song by the Spirit. Now, listen. The song itself are the words. The melody is from the earth. The melody is earthly. But the words are heavenly. Is it making sense? For example, let me give you one of our psalms. I am purified. Display for me. Sanctified. Washed in the glory. I've got God's power. Working mightily on my behalf. I'm full of his glory, the object of his care. The dark has nothing on me. It's a non-ending anthem. It's my life's chorus. The dark has nothing on me. It's a conviction breath. It's from the word of the Lord. The dark has nothing. What's the second one? Speaking, and I've got victory. The dark has nothing. Forever alive again. Okay. And I am so sure I'm in the Lord's story. Woo! You will know that this is by the Spirit. I remember it was 2020. I can't remember which year. Right now I was on a bike. Now they ban bikes now. I was on a bike. I was going to work. Early in the morning, it was about past 6 to 7. Because I had to quickly see a patient in ICU. I was on call the other night. I don't know that. Don't forget about this one. I had to quickly see a patient in ICU. And I was on bike. And with a breeze and everything. I forgot the name of the street. So I don't know the name of the street here. And the dark has nothing on me. He just came. I started singing. Before you know, so I don't forget, I brought up my phone. And I turned on the voice recorder. I started singing it. I sang it all day. Why? I don't know. Why? I don't know. But God knows. And I started singing it. I heard it. That very week. That was a Tuesday. That very week. The number of events that happened. I knew that the dark has nothing on me. The devil did his best. I remember the song. I said, "Oh, oh!" God was saying something. But you know what? If you're a fool, it comes out. You see something, you say something, you hear something, because you are filled. And being full is measured in the overflow. The melody came from the earth, whatever. Maybe because I'm a music person, I don't know how to sing, but I have a background in music. It's small background. Amen. Not that you know, you want to sing song. I believe in your name. I believe in your holy name. Or you say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No. You want to sing on God, so sing it well. He said, it's the Spirit of God, yeah. It's the Spirit of God, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's no longer a psalm. That is a sham. Amen. That's a sham. So, I can sing in tongues. And I've got interpretation for it. The Spirit of God inspires in me songs, songs to lead me, to bless me, and to bless my world. Ready for that, right? So it's a night of songs. You want to sing? Huh?